You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so delighted to be here with you today. Thank you for honoring us with your time. We have some good news around here today, and I want to share it with all of you who make this show possible. The World Entertainment Awards have included this podcast as an honored participant in this year's celebrations and awards. And we're thankful to our sponsors, our donors, and all that help us do what we do. We're also celebrating my fourth Global Music Award, which is such an honor, for Family Bible in the Classic Country category. The video for that is on YouTube, and you can find that anywhere they sell music. And remember, all the profits from my music go to support my 501c3, which produces this podcast. So it's a blessing any way you look at it. And we are also honored by the Indie Songwriting Award for a song I wrote called The Miracle of Us. And you can find that anywhere where streaming music is available. So we're very excited right now. We have a lot of things to be thankful for always, but right now we are really thanking and praising God for blessing the work of our hands and blessing us with all of you and blessing us with our guest today. One of our favorite people is here with us. Would you please introduce yourself to our friends?
Yes, my name is Jacob King, and I reside in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a business consultant, and I'm very happy to be with you today.
We are very happy you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Congratulations on all of these accolades and awards. And I'm really excited for you.
Oh, thank you so much for rejoicing with us. We had kind of a tough time. It's nice to have all this good news for a change. So I'm really blessed, and thank you for celebrating with us. Thank you very much. I'm really happy you're here. I'm always happy when you join us because I know wisdom comes with you. What's on your heart today?
Wow. It is like so much. It's been going on, you know, here recently, you know, mass shootings every other day seems like, you know, the changes in the world as far as like the currency is concerned, the unprecedented time of the indictment of a former president, you know, it's been a lot, but I think, you know, for the first half of the show, at least, I would like to talk about and get your opinion on this fascination with aliens and other life forms. It seems like that it's always been there, and to me, it seems like it's been an uptick in supposed sightings and even information that the U.S. government is now, I guess, admitting to. What are your thoughts? And then I'll give you my thoughts.
Wow. Well, this is exciting. I had no idea what we were going to discuss today, and we're off and running. So this is exciting. Many indigenous tribes worldwide. have stories of star beings, of the Aurora Borealis being filled with spirits of the ancestors, perhaps. And there are many traditions in indigenous peoples that account for life somewhere else besides on the ground of terra firma, right? Not on this earth. And so there are many people I know who absolutely believe that there is life out there somewhere. And there are many, the Aztecs, the Mayans certainly had account for that. So did the Egyptians. So, I mean, throughout history, there has been some acknowledgement, perhaps, that people are not alone. So I do believe this popular culture is seeing much more to do with this topic. For example, many shows, many movies, I bet if we looked at the genres, we would see a lot that, a lot of new films, a lot of movies, a lot of things. And we had War of the Worlds, Orson Welles, you know, back in the day, or you had those 1950s sci-fi movies or Star Trek or things like that. But now it's a large part of our popular culture entertainment.
Yeah, it is. Do you remember Invasion of the Body Snatchers and V, that series?
Oh, yeah, those
that
are
came
classics.
On in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are classics. I mean, those are Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right? I mean, those are those are Alien, literally Alien, right? And even Predator. There's a new release of Predator called Prey. And that features indigenous people battling aliens. So,
yeah, it's kind of like a prequel to the other series, as I understand.
Right, yeah. Like in other words, these aliens evidently have been coming a long time for hunting parties. So I think that there is, you're right. I mean, there's always been aliens. There's always been science fiction novels or that genre. But now I think it's, I don't want to say normalized, but I think now it's not even questioned. You know, this movie, Nope, just came out, right? There's an alien in it. There's aliens just as part of the film. It's not like, oh, this is a movie for sci-fi fans. This is just a regular movie, and there's aliens in it. It's like that now.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I think I would like to.
I haven't seen it either. That everyone warned me it would be a little too gory for me. I don't, horror and things like that, I don't do too well with.
Yeah, I don't either. I still haven't seen Get Out yet.
No, yeah, I'll let people tell me about it.
Right. But I had been thinking about why, you know, there's been such an emphasis on that. There are people who believe in, you know, extraterrestrial, let's put it that way, more than they believe in God.
Oh, dear.
And it's unfortunate, but I believe I have an explanation as to why we're seeing it more and more and more. It's becoming more prevalent in, you know, society.
And sure.
We're really getting, and I know that we've heard this all of our lives also, we're getting to the last days, the last of the last days. And we're approaching the time of, you know, the rapture, the Antichrist, the second coming of Christ. And that is going to be one of the explanations as to what happens to the people who are raptured.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That, you know, the aliens must have took them. And it's going to be such, you know, if we were to do a survey, how many people would believe that there's, you know, extraterrestrial activity.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably find that the majority of them do.
Mm.
So it's going to be an easy explanation as to what happens
mm-hmm.
with, you know, the rapture.
Mm.
Do I need to define the rapture for?
Could you please? We have friends listening in 160 countries.
Yeah.
They may have a different idea. You know, they may even call it something different in different languages. So I'd love it if you do that, please.
Well, as we know, the word rapture is not in the biblical text, but there will be what is defined as.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a catching away.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That when right before the 7-year tribulation period begins,
mm-hmm.
the church, as it is, or those that are in Christ, will be caught up with them in the air,
mm-hmm.
and will be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
That those that are dead in Christ, they'll be restored to their bodies, but their bodies will be different.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get new bodies, glorified
Amen.
Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be caught up first, and then those that are alive and remain will be changed into their glorified bodies and be caught up with Christ before a lot of the bad things start happening on earth, and we're beginning to see a lot of the signs of what was written in the Bible about the end times.
Mm-hmm.
There's the weather is, you know, totally different now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an increase of earthquakes and tornadoes, hurricanes, and what some might refer to as global warming.
Mm-hmm.
These are all contributing factors of what's described in the Bible as the end times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would describe the rapture. How would you describe it?
Well, first of all, that was a beautiful description. And the number one thing that comes to my mind when I think of it is that it is our blessed hope. As we see these headlines and we see things changing and we see all the perilous times and troublesome times, this is our hope, you know, that we're not
right.
just going to be left behind and abandoned, but that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And he loves us so much that he didn't just leave us here with no hope, with no expectation of good. And so your description is perfect in really describing the heart of Jesus Christ toward us.
Amen. That's beautiful. It is a blessed hope.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he didn't leave us. And never will abandon us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it reminds me so much of when I was expecting. We prepared a place for the baby. You know, chose the best of everything and things that we liked and we thought that he would like. And we prepared a place for him. Toys and games and a rocking chair and a beautiful crib and all this for him to come to. And I really believe the rapture is symbolic of what Jesus has done for us. You know, I think sometimes we have this idea that heaven is boring, that we'll just sit on clouds, you know, and, you know, perhaps strum harps or something. And no. Jesus is preparing a place for you with him, and you will love it. You will like it. You will enjoy it. It will be far beyond your wildest expectations of good. And I feel that's so important to remember, especially as things become more and more difficult in this world.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, things can look dark at times.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be reminded of the silver lining of the cloud, so to speak.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I wonder if when we know that we have something wonderful coming, think about children on Christmas Eve. do we have power to live our lives more courageously and more bravely when we have hope?
I don't know that we always do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when the scripture says, you know, don't get weary in well doing.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Or in due season. It's like, well, when is that due season going to come?
Right.
It's like, I've been waiting for it for a long, long time. You've been telling me that it's coming. You've been telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So it should give us encouragement. It should give us power.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it always does.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on our attitude while we're waiting or expecting the thing that we're looking for.
Right. One thing you said to me stands out in my mind, many things, but this one really does right now. You told me one day that you had to choose your attitude every day. Mm. And how do we do that? When we, you know, you wake up and look at what is on the headlines. I mean, look at what's on the news. Look, I mean, good morning. Here's your daily dose of scandal and tragedy. How do we choose our attitude when these perilous times are happening?
That is something that comes with maturity, because you determine how you believe. You determine how you receive also. It's a choice. It's, you know, a process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brother Hagin, that a bird may fly over your head,
mm-hmm.
but it's up to you whether or allow it to build a nest on top of your head.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So remember, we're free moral agents, and we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We have free choice.
Mm-hmm.
As to what we're going to do, what we're not going to do, how we're going to feel, not feel, what we're going to accept or deny, what we're going to believe.
Yes.
You know, those are all things within our purview.
I like that. I think it's wonderful, because one of the greatest things that I ever realized is that, you know, you have these revelations sometimes that the problem is you or that this is about you. And that's wonderful, because I can't change anybody else, but I can change me. And so when I hear you say that, we have a lot of agency. You know, we can make decisions. We can choose. And we can choose to line up with God, right? I mean, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He even tells you how to choose for the best. And we can. We can do that. And to me, when I see all these things that are out of our control, you know, the weather, the shootings, the just pandemics, all of it that's out of our control. It is great to be able to choose our attitude. And also, we can choose to hope. And I think that's very powerful, don't you?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, you know, also that these extraterrestrials
mm-hmm.
are fallen angels.
Oh, okay.
That they have presented themselves in a way, you know, to be used in the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, they've existed for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have revealed themselves in different ways to indigenous people, to ancient Egyptians, and other cultures in you know, different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Ever read the Book of Enoch or been exposed to that?
I have not. No. I mean, I've heard of it, but I have never read it.
Yeah. It describes some of this, you know, in actuality and how they work with humans to teach them certain things that they really weren't supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, help them develop different technologies as well. You know, some of them have relations with daughters of men and became what was referred to as Nephilim. Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
With a giant.
Right. Okay.
Super powerful human.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wiped out at different times as a result of a flood during Noah's day. And at other times to, you know, try and get rid of them. But some of them still, you know, remained over the years.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
Mm-hmm. So as we see these, even in kids' cartoons, we see really helpful aliens, right? Or cuddly aliens. They're fun. They're loving. Oh, they're just like a pet or a best friend in a lot of the children's representations.
Like,
why do you think that is?
To get you more susceptible to them. Isn't Casper more friendly than actually seeing a demon?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
Like, so we have to be, you know, spiritually discerning.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not just fall prey to, you know, what the rest of society is trying to fork on us.
That's interesting. It makes me think of a Twilight Zone episode, which the Twilight Zone was actually created as a response to the death of Emmett Till. Rod Serling was just absolutely brokenhearted about it, and he wanted to tackle racism and social justice and injustice issues, and science fiction was the best way to do it, right? Sometimes people will take things in a different wrapper, if he'd made documentaries, they never would have been aired. But if you look at the social points that he's making in a lot of those Twilight Zone episodes, it's pretty powerful. And in one of the episodes, to serve man, aliens land, and they say, oh, we're here to serve man. We're here to serve man. And they're feeding people, and they're offering them a chance to have a better life and all of this. And yet it turns out that on their home planet, the cookbook is called Serve Man. And so they're fattening up humans in order to take them back to their planet and eat them. But it all starts with the idea, oh, we're here to serve you. We're here to help you. Oh, we're going to give you all the food you want. You know, eat as much as you want. You'll live in comfort and you'll, you know. And yet the price is dramatically high. They're going to be slaughtered. And so I wonder about that. That just came to my mind as, you know, something that presents itself as an angel of light, right? I think that the image we have of the enemy with horns and a tail and a pitchfork being really ugly, nobody's going to go to that. You're going to run away. Like, yuck, what is that? So he has to disguise himself as something beautiful, something attractive, something that you would want, and never tell you the end. My grandfather used to say, you can pick your sin, but you can't pick your consequences. And so the enemy always makes it look like this is going to be fun. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. Nobody ever says, oh, I hope I end up on Skid Row, you know, or I hope I end up ruining my entire marriage, or, oh, I hope I devastate my life and finances. No, they just think this looks like a good drink, or this looks like a fun thing to do until they can't control it anymore. So I'm interested in that idea that the aliens would present themselves as helpful until they're not.
And that's the way it is a lot of times. Like you said, with, you know, other things as well,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, on the outside, you know, she might look good,
mm-hmm.
he might look good, but what's going on inside?
Yeah.
What does soul do?
Yeah, right. And that's an important message for our young people who are listening right now, too, is especially with all the filters and the fact that you can craft your persona online. You know, you can make yourself anyone. But who are you? You know, who are you? And so I think you just really, that was an excellent moment, you know, a teachable moment for our young people. And so I want to protect our young people, you know, who are wearing aliens on their T-shirts and think that aliens are cool to collect or, you know, they're friendly. They're just like us. They all speak English. They all love us. And then maybe they don't. So how do we talk to our young people about these movies, about these TV shows and books and things, especially, you know, when they're so prevalent?
Well, that goes back to, you know, having a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Number one, you know, and you have to have a relationship with the Lord and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Then mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit can help you discern, you know, what is good, what is not good. And we try the spirits by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be my advice, you know, mm-hmm. to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you as to what's good and what's not.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, then I think we better help somebody find Jesus right now. Would you be willing to help lead someone to Christ who might be listening and they just need to know?
Definitely. For those of you listening who may not have a relationship with Christ, it says in Romans chapter 10 that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. It's not a hard process. It's just believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and then saying that with your mouth. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. You will be saved. So, Father, we pray for those right now who believe in their heart and are saying with their mouth that you raised Jesus from the dead, that he came, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross, and he got up on that third day with all power in his hand. And he did that for each and every one of us. Like it says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for their lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for their commitment that they're making to you right now. Bless them, Lord. Give them direction. Give them your love like never before. Show them your ways and give them your light. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You have some time to spend with God while we pay the bills with these commercials. We'll be right back.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray all, they pray all. They never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all. shorty. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What a marvelous, marvelous thing resurrection power is. And our guest today is helping us to find that in our own lives. Would you reintroduce yourself to our friends, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jacob King. I'm a business consultant from Atlanta, Georgia.
We're glad you're here. If someone needs your wisdom, business consulting, or maybe they even want you to share with their own Bible study or group or something like that, what's the best way to connect with you?
The best way would be email, and they can reach me at Jacob, J-A-C-O-B, the letter K, 37 at gmail.com.
Perfect. That's very important. You know, we're all about connections here because I believe iron sharpens iron, and that's what we're getting to do today. I want to talk about resurrection power with you a little bit because that's what we've just experienced, right? When we are in Christ, our lives are different. And so I'd like to hear a little bit about your testimony, please.
Definitely. My testimony is a long one. So
that's fine with us.
Particular part that you want to hear about.
We want you to start where you'd like to start and share what you'd like to share. We've got time.
Okay. I'll do, some different highlights.
Perfect.
I accepted Christ in my life at a young age, at the age of 9, actually. It was in January of 1980, when I got baptized, the local Baptist church in Bluefield, West Virginia, where I was born.
Wow!
And I grew up, and I had, some struggles in my teenage years because it was like I was doing what I wanted to during the week, and then I would be on church on Sunday. You know, I loved the Lord, but I had this you know, struggle, like of trying to be on both sides of the fence. And that happens a lot when Christians are carnal. And, you know, I had that, you know, thing that was happening with me like that as well. I was still immature as a Christian. When I was 19, I decided to go to the Greek fest with some of my friends, and it was going on at Virginia Beach at that time. And the Greek fest is really just a big party with all the Greek letter organizations that exist. It wasn't as bad as Freak Meek, but it was, you know, really a big party. So when it came time to go, a lot of my friends dropped out. So I decided to go by myself. And on the way, I went to visit a friend who lived in North Carolina that I went to high school with. And, you know, she was on the drill team, and she was somebody that I was interested in in high school. And it wasn't that far from Virginia Beach.
Right.
I think it was like 3 or 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So I spent a couple of days there, and then her roommate's boyfriend wanted to travel with me to Virginia Beach because he had some friends that were there, and, you know, it was going to be a good time. So he rode with me to Virginia Beach. And the person I was supposed to be staying with, I couldn't get in touch with them. So I ended up staying with her boyfriend's friend. It was just a bunch of guys all in one apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, long story short, while I was there the last night before I was to return to Ohio, we were coming back from a concert at North Fork State. And this car, this guy had stolen the car from a dealership, and he was being chased by the police. We were at a traffic light. He ran into the side. My head was laying toward. I decided to rest since I was going to be driving back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laying down in the back seat. My head was laying toward that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it paralyzed me.
Oh.
From the neck down, initially.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, the ambulance worker finally finding me in the back seat and coming through and asking me, was it okay to work on me?
Mm-hmm.
I told him it was.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like a pinch in my neck, so I knew I was supposed to stay still.
Uh-huh.
But I remember saying the Lord's Prayer twice in case that I pass. And, you know, they got me out. They cut my clothes off and got me to the hospital. My parents came down, you know, the next day. And the doctor told me that I was paralyzed and I wasn't going to be able to walk the rest of my life.
I'm sorry.
And I was, like, depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I was on a ventilator, I tried to hold my breath and go ahead and pass away.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord soon brought me out of that depression.
Because
I had, like, a vision of him telling me that he was going to heal me. So, you know, thankfully the depression didn't last long. You know, my parents got there, and I was in ICU for about 2 months. After that time, they flew me back to Ohio, and I was in the hospital for another 2 months. So I was in the hospital altogether for 5 months.
Oh, my.
Well, after I got out the hospital, I started studying God's word.
Uh-huh.
You know, people ask me, you know, sometimes where I went to school, and I didn't, you know, go for, you know, theology or seminary. I went to Holy Ghost University.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you did.
I sat with God's word
mm-hmm.
for sometimes 8 hours.
Sure.
You know, daily while I was, you know, trying to recover and, you know, get well enough to go back to college. Mm-hmm. And this went over the course of, I think, 7 or 8 months
mm-hmm.
After I got out the hospital. And I started attending a word church
mm-hmm.
Called Columbus Christian Center.
Mm-hmm.
And at CCC, you know, they were really heavy on teaching God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really liked about the ministry. So mm-hmm. I was also learning about faith, about, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There, and you know, I eventually got married, and you know, she had two children
mm-hmm.
from a previous praise marriage,
God. Mm-hmm.
and they became my kids.
Yes, praise God.
And I didn't, you know, we didn't have, you know, the step situation. It was
right.
You know, they were mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they're all grown now, and they have kids of their own. So mm-hmm. I have nine. Well, I have 8 grandchildren, 1 on the way.
Yay! Congratulations! That's so exciting. Oh, I love it.
So, you know, I've had, you know, different illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the spinal cord injury,
mm-hmm.
but I'll tell you, like it is in Psalms, that many are the afflictions of the righteous,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord delivers us out of them all.
All. Mm-hmm.
And I've been through 100% of my worst days. I made it through.
Yes.
100% of my worst
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has just shown himself over and over again. He's shown himself physically. He's shown himself financially. He's shown himself spiritually. And like I was saying, it is a relationship that we receive from God how we know him. If you only know him as a carpenter or a carpenter's son, he might be able to build you a house.
Right.
But he can't save you. But, you know, I've learned to know him in so many different ways. That's why he's referred to by so many different names, like Elohim,
mm-hmm.
like El Elyon,
mm-hmm.
like El Shaddai,
mm-hmm.
like Jehovah Rapha,
yeah.
Jehovah Nisi.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so many names, but the ultimate name that he wants us to know him as is Father.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's who Jesus introduced him as, you know, as he was going through everything that he went through.
Mm-hmm.
So my walk has been you know, a real relationship. And I just, you know, give God all the glory, because one thing, my story is not finished. That he's still working in, on me, and through me. And, you know, as long as I have a voice, I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to give him all the praise.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that resurrection celebration testimony. Because I hear new life in all of what you have just told us. The life of God, the promises of God, the joy of the Lord, all of it is in that testimony. And I thank you so much for sharing it with us, because I know in these times there are brokenhearted people, disappointed people, people who are battling illness or lack, and you have just encouraged them tremendously. And I thank you for that.
Well, praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
You have any questions about, you know, different things about my testimony?
I really feel led, having heard your testimony. I have my Kleenex. I'm dabbing my eyes. I really feel like our youth need to have you speak directly to them right now, because that's whose hearts are breaking. I mean, they're going to school, and the statistic just came out the other day that a kindergartner right now has a 1 in 25 chance of being involved in a shooting at school. And this is horrifying for our young people. And your powerful testimony, your tremendous testimony, reminds us of hope, that there's hope in it. You know, God had a beautiful plan for your life. He had everything you could ever want, all planned out for you. And I'm so glad that you stayed around to experience it, and that you were able to walk in God's word and see so many victories in your life. And I would really love it if you would speak directly to our youth that are listening, because they are really going through it right now, and they could use your encouragement.
Wow, that is that is awesome to be able to, you know, speak to the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I do realize what they are going through because of what some of the things that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that I would like to encourage them is with the word.
Yeah.
That is what I'm rooted and grounded in.
Mm-hmm.
That is where my foundation is. So in particular, Psalm 91, because it's like a prayer of protection.
Amen.
And there's a newer version of a translation. I'm not for sure if you're familiar with it, but it's called the Passion Translation, or TPT.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, it's totally awesome. I'm going to read from Psalm 91, the Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cover the whole Bible yet. That's how new it is. It just,
wow, that's exciting.
Like Psalms, Proverbs, and I believe the New Testament, or most of the New Testament.
Wow.
So it starts off like this. It says, safe and secure.
Mm.
When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. Okay. And he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. Amen. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide.
Mm-hmm.
His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day.
Mm-hmm.
Demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil be launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High,
yes,
our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you love me, delighted in me, and have been loyal to my name, I will greatly protect you.
Mm.
I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you and bring you honor. I will satisfy you with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
You like that version?
I do. We read Psalm 91 every day, and we claim it and stand on it, and I want to encourage all of our friends to do that, because we have to. We have to in this day and age. It's really important. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. There's a group of people that we get a lot of prayer requests, but I would say there's a group of people that I would really like to ask you to pray for right now, because the number one prayer request we get around here is people who want a family. They want a mate. They want children. They want a family. And in your testimony, it leapt out that God had all that prepared for you, even if it looked impossible at one point, where it looked like, how could that possibly happen? And we get letters, we get emails, we get people who ask, they want a family, and they feel like it's too late, love has passed them by, or they feel like, you know, they've been told they can't have children. And one of the best people to pray for people is somebody who's actually got it. God gave you your family. He gave you a wonderful companion and great kids, and now terrific grandchildren, and one on the way. Congratulations. And so could you take a moment and pray for our friends who, they want a mate. They want a family.
Yes, ma'am. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you for being the Father of glory.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because you gave him to us, how shall you not freely also give us all things? So we thank you, O Lord, for everything that you prepared for us. We thank you, O Lord, for that every blessing has been given to us in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
So we use the currency of our faith to pull what's in the spiritual into the natural. We thank you that you provided everything that we need, including a family, including mm-hmm. a mate, including children, including our heart's desires, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, O Lord, that out of the 8 billion people here on earth, that we have someone special that we can share our lives with, that we can share our love with, that we can share your love with. And we thank you, Lord, for those that are listening that have those desires, companionship, family. We thank you, Lord, that you've already provided it.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just pray, oh Father, that it will manifest and that they will be blessed and increased in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Right now.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for praying for our friends, our loved ones, all of us. Thank you so much. There's something I wanted to share with you as we start to close. I won't go into all the details, but my ankle was broken, and I had to have emergency surgery, and it was a very difficult situation, and, you know, very just so grateful for God. But I had lots of excruciating pain, lots of it, and when I went to have x-rays, and then I had another ultrasound. Everyone was talking very quietly, and I didn't know what was going to be said or what was going to be happening. But they said, you know, you had a lot of nerve damage, and the best that we could hope for was that those nerves might regenerate and, you know, perhaps grow some new cells, and, you know, it might not be so bad for you. But you have new nerves, brand new nerves.
Great.
And they showed me on the ultrasound, and my regular nerves that have been with me all my life, they're sort of matte, sort of, you know, they look very chill. And my new nerves are really shiny, really bright on the ultrasound. And they said, literally, you've grown new nerves, and we almost never see that in people over 30. I mean, usually it's very young people that that happens. And they said, you've grown new nerves. And the thing I said to them immediately, it came right out of my mouth. I said, Jacob King. And they were like, pardon? And so I told them about you. And we agreed in prayer that if God's handing out new nerves, you can have some too. Complete and total healing in every area of your body. But the thing that stood out the most when they told me about these new nerves is they said, oh, all this pain you've been experiencing, it's not the damage, it's the growth. Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, that'll preach. Somebody out there needs to hear that. It's not the damage. It's the growth. You think it's the job. You think it's the headlines. You think it's your partner. You think it's the situation. But it's really the growth. And if you'll just hang on in there through this growing time, through this stretching time, through this resurrection time, God has something new and wonderful for you on the other side.
Amen. Growing pain.
And so that's why I'm so thankful you were here with us today to help us grow, to help us go through these troublesome times and come out with spiritual blessings of resurrection and new life and renewed hope. Thank you, Jacob King.
Praise God.
Praise God. And thank you to all of you who listen. Thank you to you who make this show possible. We have to have a miracle pretty much every month. And thanks to all of you, we do. So thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to our network. Thank you to our sponsors, friends, and donors, and to all of you. And most of all, thanks be to God. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.